The good.
The bad.
WTF. What are you
thinking?
Welcome back to episode 56 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF Are They Thinking? And it's a beautiful, beautiful day today. We're filming this on a Friday. The weather's good. You'll be listening to this on a Sunday, and I hope the weather's just as good. How is it over in your neck of the woods anyway, Peter?
Anywhere in the world, by the way. We don't want to discriminate and say only the UK is good weather.
Yeah, we're in the rest UK, of the world, that's all we're talking
weather
about.
As well. I'm good. Like you said, it's weather's nice. It's nice. It feels like spring is here. The clocks go forward tomorrow.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, bright days ahead. Yeah.
That's what we like to hear.
Easter eggs.
That's what we like to. Easter eggs. Yeah, we're a bit too old to eat for Easter eggs now.
You're never too old to eat Easter eggs, but I do go past them and I do kind of think, like, no one gives me Easter eggs anymore. Do I give myself an Easter egg? And then do you stop at one? And this is the conundrum, because as a kid, like, you can have like five and it'd be okay, but now you get into an age where you think, I just don't need that many calories in my body.
No. Also, if you're going to give yourself an Easter egg, give yourself an Easter egg after Easter,
and the best
when they're down to a quid,
and the best. Yeah, not the get the ones that you properly want. You know, when you always open one and it's just like, as if you've had it before. It's like the most generic one. Like, get yourself a Thornton's. Get yourself something that looks a little bit like snazzy, like out of the box kind of thing.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't think you can beat a Cadbury's. I think the Cadbury egg, I don't think you can beat it. I think it's top tier.
Thornton's is pretty good though.
I've never been a big fan. I think Thornton's is a bit, I don't know, not overrated, because I don't think anyone overrates it, but I just a classic Cadbury's egg to me does all the business. And then as long as you pick as long as you pick a good host, like a crunchy,
a good brand,
good brand. Well, Cadbury's, isn't it? As long as you pick a Cadbury's sub brand host,
yeah, it's gotta be Dairy Milk.
Yeah, Dairy Milk's good. I think as long as it's a Cadbury egg in the middle, you're winning. You don't want one of those crap ones, you know, where the chocolate is just bad. Cheap chocolate. You want a brand that goes all in, and I still think Cadbury sit top of the list. But I haven't had an Easter egg in ages either. I haven't had one for like 2 years, I think.
It's tempting, isn't it?
Because I'm in my late 20s. No one buys everywhere. Me Easter eggs anymore.
They're everywhere. It's hard not to look at them. But then, like, I suppose with self-checkout, it's okay. But like, if you had someone at the till, you'd have to like conjure up a story. I'd say, yeah, this is for my niece. Like, because
you don't have to conjure up a story.
You have
Come
to conjure
on.
Up
no
a
one's
story.
Asking.
Yeah, but you feel no like you're on trial. It's like, you eating this, fatty? It's like, no, this is my niece. Sure it is.
How many nieces have you got? It's the fifth time you've been here today.
You're just getting bigger and bigger by the day. You have another niece. You still got chocolate around your mouth. Just bring it up. I didn't come for this.
Nah.
Anyway, why are you so judgmental? Who made you jury, judge, and executioner?
Are you talking to me or the imaginary?
The imaginary
shop assistant.
Shop assistant who's too nosy for her own good or his own good.
Yeah. They don't. I mean, yeah. Okay. Well, I think we'll leave that there, shall we? About the Easter eggs. We're also a couple of weeks too early.
We are.
I thought Easter was beginning of April. Is it getting later and later? Or has it always been this late? I swear it was earlier than this.
It's like Christmas. They come out way too early, these Easter eggs. They sit on the shelves, the high shelves. That's when you notice them first. They're on the high shelves, and then as the weeks go by, gradually they keep declining down the shelves until they're eye level.
Yeah. I do like it, though, because we get a bank holiday over here in the UK. We get the Friday, we get the Saturday. Well, Saturday is it's not a bank holiday, but it's a weekend. bank holiday Sunday and then bank holiday Monday. You get 4 days, and by the time you get to Monday, you're just delirious. You're like, what the fuck is going on? What day is it? Where am I? Who's who? What am I working today? Am I working tomorrow? Do I ever work again? Like,
especially on a chocolate binge as well. You're just like,
yeah,
just full of chocolate and you're ready to go, not go.
Well, I remember the classics whenever it was Easter and Dad would have the time off as well. He would watch like Ben Hur and like, what was the other movie he really liked watching?
Greatest Story Ever Told.
It was always Easter, wasn't it, that those things were
well,
on.
Well, they're biblical, aren't they?
Biblical movies. And it'd be like, it's like a Christmas movie, but it's an Easter movie. Ten Commandments. Yeah, all of them movies, they'd always have them on, like, yeah. Traditional.
Now they have Hop. Now you have Russell Brown playing a bunny.
It's not as good, is it? It's not definitely not as good.
It's not as grandiose, is it? As Charlton Heston beating up a load of people. In a chariot.
That's what Easter's all about. Charlton Heston beating people up.
Yep. He's made a life out of just beating up people, whether they're like zombie vampire things or monkeys or whatever, he beats them up.
That is what he was best known for. God bless Charlton Heston. Easter is about Charlton Heston now. It is. Not Jesus.
Remember Charlton Heston on this day.
Oh, boy. But I think that's enough of the small talk. Should we get into the movie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, this movie. I was glad I picked this movie after watching it. And I don't know, I want to know how much you knew about this movie before you went in. Did you watch a trailer? Did you look up anything, or you just hit that play button and you went on that wild ride?
I just hit that play button.
Great, because you would have started that off and then 15 minutes in, maybe even half an hour in, I can't remember how long it was, until the title sequence hit, it was like half an hour, wasn't it?
It was 33 minutes.
33 minutes, that's a long time.
Because I didn't realise until the 33 minute mark that we didn't have credits. It just suddenly dawned on me. I was like, oh, crap, that's weird.
Did you think, were you slightly disappointed at the start of the movie thinking, oh, I'm just watching a generic romantic comedy here? And then...
No, my disappointment came on later in the movie.
We'll get to that later. We'll start at the beginning. I'm intrigued to know where that kicks in. Let me know when that kicks in. The intro to the movie, it does, if you don't watch the trailer... And you don't look at any of the posters or any promotional material into this movie, you could be surprised about what you're watching. But I mean, I think yes, I kind of knew where it was going. I knew it was going to have a weird twist. I didn't know particularly what it was going to be, but I knew it was coming. I still enjoyed the first 33 minutes of the movie. Felt like a different movie. I enjoyed it. It was a nice pace, wasn't it? It didn't rush into the madness. It kind of built into it nicely, and I quite enjoyed
those
33 minutes.
It made sense, the 33 minutes for then the credits to start to say that's like the prologue to the movie, and now the movie's begun. Yeah. For me, those first 33 minutes were the best 33 minutes of the movie.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh no! So the disappointment kicked in after the credits.
It did. I kind of thought, like, you knew it was kind of going to go, and it went in the way, and you're like, all right, we know what's going to happen here. He's not going to be Prince Charming. He's not going to be the man of her dreams. There's going to be some mystery around him. I thought maybe the twist might be that she was going to be the mysterious one, maybe. That's what I thought the twist might be. It might... turn itself on its head, and it might be her and not him. And his reasonings for doing the things, I'm trying to like. When I was watching this movie, there were a few movies that came in my head. Piercing from 2018, which is a great movie. I recommend that to anyone. Hostel. I think you can see why. I put the comparisons of Hostel.
Yeah, I can see a bit of Hostel.
Misery, 1990. And Tusk, which is the Kevin Smith movie where he the madman transforms Justin Long into a giant walrus. These are capture movies. They're all capture movies. And what's great about them four is how bold and out there and dangerous they were. This one was too vanilla for me.
Yeah. Explain to me why, though. What? Because I was watching this, and I know what you mean by it was a bit vanilla. I did like how casual it was, though. How casual Sebastian Stan's character.
It's not so much how casual he was, but I felt they tried to make him sometimes too light. Like, yeah. It was too, like, too much winking at the audience saying, don't worry, you're in a safe place. This is only a movie. For me, these kind of, I mean, this is trying to capture the torture porn era of movies that we had in the early 2000s, didn't we, with, like, Hostel and Saw. And it was a movie that said, and I think the director came out and said she was a horror movie fan who wanted to make a horror movie that both horror fans and non-horror fans could like. Well, she did the latter part, I believe. I think non-horror fans can... This is an easier movie for them to get into because it's not so wincy. It's not so, you know, oh, I can't believe that's happening. A non-horror fan would look at this and say, it's still trying to be too cute for a subject matter that should be a lot more darker than that. It's got this idea, again, it's very hostile, this idea that what he is he's a secret market out there. It's like the dark web, you know, it's this interesting idea. And I just think that's all this movie is. It's a nice collection of ideas that never really amount to much.
Okay. I can see why you say that. I think credit goes to Mimi Cave. I think a bit of credit goes to her. It's a good directorial debut. Very good, I'd say.
If you look, the overall look of the movie looks great. The pacing, I think the pacing does drag a little bit. I think the beginning, opening, I think her decisions are fine in terms of the look of the film, but story-wise, I think this movie does feel, it feels like a first draft. That's how I really look at this movie. It looks like someone's first draft.
Okay. I know what you mean. I think there were definitely bits of the movie that I thought were a bit silly. I think the idea that this man who sells meat to the market is falling in love with the cattle, if you know what I mean. Like, these are just... Surely he should just look at these people as his product that he's selling and not keep falling in love with them all the time. Like, I mean, it kind of hinted at the wife as well, was kind of hinted that she... Well, I mean, not hinted, it was pretty much thrown in your face that she was at one point a product for him to sell and then he fell in love with her. She gained his trust.
Yes and no.
She was missing a leg. He said that they'd like it better when they're alive. So you assumed that he cut her leg off, kept her alive, sold the leg, and then fell in love with her. And then that's sort of what he was doing with Daisy, with Noah. The annoying thing about her is that she had her ass cut off, and she was fine.
And she had it perfectly, and she still had an ass. Like in the movie, like, you still see the outline of her ass. But it's the same with all.
That was
of them.
Kind of stupid.
It's the same with all of them. Like her, Penny, and is it Molly, her friend?
Yeah,
all three of them have had bits cut off them, but they still look beautiful. They still look in like their hair's done, their makeup's on, and I'm like, this isn't. You pick out on these things when you're not enjoying a movie so much. If I was enjoying it, I wouldn't notice it so much. But I looked at them, so they look immaculate. And I know, all right, she was treated a little bit better. But even at the start, she still looked good. Like, she was chained in a dungeon, she still looked good. I think...
It would get to you. The lack of sunlight, the lack of being able to move around. Like, you'd lose a bit of colour in your face, at least, wouldn't you? You go a little bit pale, you've lost a lot of blood. You're probably in a lot of pain, but you know what? They covered that up in the writing. They said he's a surgeon. So, you know, he sewed them right back up again and they're good to go.
Which is, it just doesn't make any sense, does it? If you lose your bum,
no.
I'd imagine you'd be in immense pain. You know what? Yeah. If you get a cut on your finger, that hurts. That's sore for a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, imagine it chunks is. Of you are not there anymore. Surely, one, you would be on morphine a lot. I'd imagine you'd be doped up because the pain would be unpleasurable. There'd be leaking fluid, wouldn't there? I would have thought. This movie kind of reminded me of The Human Centipede. Like someone looked at The Human Centipede and said, could we have like a PG version of that? Because this is what it felt like. This felt like a PG version of a horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. There were some memorable scenes in this. I think it was a stylish movie, but I know what you mean. But it was a collection of good scenes in this that on their own they look good. But when you watch the whole movie, you're like, yeah. Like the dancing scene was good, but it was also stupid.
It was weird,
but it looked good.
It was well lit. Yeah,
it was well lit. Yeah, but it was trying to be like Ex Machina, wasn't it? With that scene, it was very. Very, I mean, it was pretty much the same scene, wasn't it? Of them dancing.
I think this movie had its finger in too many pies. There's certain movies. What is the overall story of this movie? It's about it's obviously about the dating scene, right? But it feels only loosened. It's like glazed over a little bit. And that's the problem with this movie. Everything's glazed over. Like the wife character, who I found the most interesting because I thought that they could have added so much to her. Like you said, was she a former product that he had?
Yeah.
They could have alluded more to that. They don't have to, like, you know, feed you with a spoon and tell you, yes, she is. But they could have made it a little bit more obvious. It was still too vague. It was glossed over, and that's the problem. Everything's glossed over.
Everything. I mean, I agree with the wife was a very interesting character. She was very mysterious, and she almost, I mean, towards the end of the film, I'm sure we'll talk about it more in depth in a bit, but towards the end of the film, it felt like she was in control of certain elements.
Yeah.
She was quite calm about the way it turned out, which we'll talk about in a bit. But it
was more like a business. Yeah, it did feel like a business.
Yeah.
And you just lost a piece of your puzzle, but you can re-employ.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it was. Let's talk about some of the supporting cast in this as well. Let's talk about their role in the movie. So Molly, we'll start with her. A lot of people liked her because they saw her as an intelligent character who was kind of putting all the pieces together on her own. But I was kind of like watching it and going, get the police involved, surely.
Yeah, generic. I thought generic best friend model type in this sort of scenario. It's always the same.
Yeah.
They're the one that they go to when they've got the problems, and they're always... In reality, this is like the worst friend you could ever have. Someone that just always constantly phones you about their problem. No one ever cared about Molly's problem. No one ever. What's going on with you, Molly? Oh, wait, it doesn't matter. You know what? I'll stay out of work all night and Google some fucking weirdo that you've gone on a date with. And now I'm worried about you. Jeez, thanks a lot.
I think she found him quite easily. Well, she found, is it Penny? Or is it... What was the name of the... it was Anne, wasn't it? Anne was the wife, wasn't she? Was that the name of the wife? Anne was the wife, yeah. He found her... She found her too easily for me.
A bit, yeah. It was... Which is fair enough. I mean, you got to have a little bit of suspension of disbelief, haven't you? Like, it is a movie in the end of the day. I was fine with how she found her. I was fine with all of that. But I just found it weird, one, that her character survived.
Yeah.
One that a lot of people survived in this movie. Maybe I'm too macabre for this movie. Maybe I'm used to... Thing is, I'm used to darker horror movies, which are like...
Yeah.
That are so grim that... I watched Funny Games this week, and maybe that's why I was in the Funny Games mood. And when you watch Funny Games, it's so uncomfortable. It's so... uncomfortable to watch. It's so distressing, but you don't see any of the kills, and it's so demoralizing. And you watch this, and you're like, this is everything that Michael Haneke was against when he did Funny Games. This is like the perfect example of that.
Yeah, I guess so. So you weren't too annoyed about Molly's character then?
At that point, I switched off from the movie in terms of caring. I was a bit like, come on, let's just get through this. I was going through the motions at the point of probably about the 40-50 minute mark.
Yeah. Do you remember a movie that we watched very early on in the podcast days, episode 6, Bad Match? Do you remember that movie? I was thinking
a lot about this movie when I was watching it. I was thinking, there's a theme here. He likes these kind of movies. It was Bad Match, and there was another one, 13 Cameras. I thought those two films combined were fresh. I thought you just combined two of your former movies into one.
Well, I mean, the selection for this movie wasn't based on that at all. It was based on the fact that it was a new release and it was starring two, you know, big actors. So I thought it'd be brilliant to do. Another supporting character, Paul. What do we think of Paul? Because I liked Paul at the end. But throughout most of the movie, I was like, what the hell are you doing, Paul?
Again, another weird generic character that didn't make a lot of sense. But the ending, I liked his ending. I thought that was good. That made sense. I liked what they did there. Mm. You know,
didn't try and be the hero.
The man isn't going to save the day. I was fine with that. Again, like a lot of these people, he comes at the right time. But funny enough, it was the wrong time because that was the time where he went, nope, not getting involved.
Well, this movie was never going to make men look good. This movie was not for
I'm fine for with male men not characters. Looking good. men are weird, disgusting pigs. To highlight them as such, I'm fine with that. Just do it in a better way.
But my favourite supporting character was the man who carries the meat into the car. What the hell happened to him?
Who is that man? And yeah, there's,
I don't know.
He was the most interesting.
There's no speaking
guy.
Lines.
He needs a movie. He does need a movie.
He's an origin story, doesn't he? We need to know what he's doing. And also, where did he go at the end? Where did he go? Because he didn't say a word in the whole movie.
He just fucked off, didn't he?
He just completely fucked off. And he's credited as man in the movie, by the way. That's what he's credited as. Man.
What? He was a man.
He was a man, but that was it. He's just man. Not. I could have given him another bloody name, couldn't they?
The man.
Back to the title sequence, anyway. 33 minutes. Is there any movie, what's the longest that it's taken for a movie for a title sequence to hit in that isn't the end of the movie? Because obviously back in the day, they used to just come in at the end, didn't they?
This must be a contender. This must be a running. I'm trying to think if The Empty Man had a long opening. I believe it did. I think it had like maybe it came in like the 20th minute or something, maybe. I don't know what the longest is. I think this is a contender, though.
It's up there in terms of... The Longest Day, apparently.
Which is a long movie.
Yeah. Title and opening credits start at 3 hours and 40 minutes. But again, is that not just at the end of the movie?
If that's
at the end, I don't think it counts.
Well, that was 1962, and back then they used to just have the title, and then at the end they'd do like, you know, like a show reel of all the actors. That's how they used to do it. So I don't know if that counts.
I don't think that counts. I suppose a lot of Bond films do it, don't they? They always have a big intro.
Yeah, but they're not 30 minutes, are they?
They're like 10, 15, aren't they? Yeah, 30 minutes is a long time. You forget about the movie that you're watching.
I think The Empty Man. I just want to type in The Empty Man right now. I remember that had a long opening.
I liked it though. I think it was a good tonal switch. It was nice. I think it really worked for this movie. So I'll give it credit there. This is a rare movie that you don't like. I can't remember the last time you haven't enjoyed a movie that we've selected, actually.
I was quite disappointed by this movie.
Oh, yeah. 20
minutes.
You had no expectations, though, did you? Or did you have a little bit of expectation?
Every movie you go into, you kind of were hoping for. I think the thing is, like, the opening start, like, the whole dating thing when she met Sebastian Shaw's character, Steve, I thought that was all good and it was all promising. And then I knew that this was going to be, as soon as that happened, I thought, I know it's going to happen. Either she's going to be captured by him or vice versa. She's going to capture him. And what is the reason for it? And then you hear about the meat processing thing. You think, okay, it's a good idea. But then the movie doesn't ever go deep enough or dark enough to really deserve anything but disappointing. I mean, I don't know why this has got such a high rated thingy on it. I think it's because for critics this is a more palatable horror movie because it's not really a horror movie. I wrote something here. We're living in the golden era of horror at the moment. When you look at the movies that are coming out around this decade and everything, we're living in the golden era of horror. This isn't even worth bronze.
Wow. He went there. Fourth place?
Disqualification.
No podium finish.
No podium for this. No, it's... the problem is there's fun. It's just too light. It's not... For me, horror is a great genre because you can tell all kind of stories. You can really go there. I mean, you look at what people are doing at the moment with horror. You look at what Jordan Peele's doing. You look at the social commentary you're getting with horror. I believe that there is social commentary in Fresh. I just don't think it's played out well enough. Like I said, there's ideas here. It's a good first draft, but I just feel like it needed more work. I really think it needed more work. And so it's forgettable. I'm not going to remember this movie in a couple of months' time. Like, I watched it, but I won't remember what happened in it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It is forgettable. I do think it is a nice, it's a good journey. It's a good journey movie. It's a good popcorn horror movie to watch.
That you're right, because normal horror movies, you cannot eat while you watch them. No one's eating popcorn while they're watching Hostel.
No, of course not. But that movie takes a wild turn, and actually turns into a really good movie. Like, it almost takes you by surprise how much that movie turns into a good movie, because it starts off like a generic horror. Hostel goes very good. Good. The character arc in Hostel was, I think, great for the main guy, the main two, to be fair. Hmm. But I suppose in this, it kind of goes a little bit as you expect it to go. You're kind of waiting for this moment to eventually arrive, and it does. She escapes. Not after, you know, after eating her friend's boob, she seems to escape. Would you eat a human to survive? In that scenario,
there was a moment in this movie where it had promise, and it was the first moment when she ate some human flesh, and it had this sudden, like, otherworldly aspect where suddenly she connected with all these people around the world that were eating human flesh, and I thought, is this the turning point? Is suddenly she going to be on his side? And I was a little bit like optimistic that this movie might get better, and it never did. It just kept straight and went, nope, she's against this. And a part of me wanted there to be such a twist, such a dramatic twist, and it was very generic. It was very formulaic. There are a lot of movies like Fresh that go down this, oh, they're kidnapped and then they free themselves. It, like you said, this is, I'll tell you what this is. This is a good TV movie.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, it is director streaming, and people are always trying to differentiate that director streaming doesn't mean TV movie. It still means the same quality. But this movie, unlike something more grandiose like Don't Look Up, which we saw, which you could imagine at cinema, Fresh is something which is perfect for TV because it's light enough for TV. It's not that dark for cinema. You know, it's light enough to put it on. Even though it's about cannibals, it never makes you want to be sick. And the whole thing about cannibalism is it's absolutely grotesque and taboo. And this never feels taboo.
No, it doesn't. I think one moment felt... I think there was a good scene, though, when we first see him at work. He comes sliding into the room, and then he gets the meat out and he starts cutting it. And he's dancing, and it's just like it's an everyday activity for him. I thought that scene was really good. That kind of painted him quite well. And I would have liked it if he would have remained that guy for the whole movie, but I think him falling for her was so stupid.
Didn't make any sense. Even that scene is what I mean in terms of it's playing it too light. Like a great example of two different scenes musically. You think of like Buffalo Bill in The Silence of the Lambs when he's doing Goodbye Horses, right? How creepy that scene is and what's happening there. And he's dancing to music. You think of this one, it's just too light for what's happening. This is a serial killer and we're kind of glossing over. And, oh, no, it's Pilot. He's dancing. It's just too safe.
It is too safe, but it was appealing to that audience. I think it wanted to be a mainstream sort of movie, and it kind of hit its audience. A lot of a lot of people who were like Sebastian Stan stans loved this movie, and same with her as well.
I think I don't know much about her. I think this is the first time I've ever seen her. Sebastian Stan, he does do great choices. I loved him in like I, Tonya. And I think he's great as the Winter Soldier. I think he's a good, interesting actor. And I think there's no bad performance. I don't think anyone's given a bad performance. Just don't think their characters have written deep enough for them to really go much with it.
No, I agree with that. It's a shame. Because I think it was going somewhere, and then it did tail off a tiny bit. But let's talk about the ending, because I think the ending is, there's a lot to unpack here, isn't there? So by the ending, I mean we start from the point of them chasing through the back of the house. And it gets pretty violent, doesn't it? There's no holding back here. The guy's face is bludgeoned, but he's still getting up. And then the thing that annoyed me is I'm kind of thinking, why are you running that way when you can go around the side of the house and run onto a road? I never understood going back into like a forest. It's always a bad idea in a horror movie, isn't it? To run into the darkness. Surely you run out where people were possibly going to be.
A little bit delirium. No? I mean, if they've been stuck in, and in the dungeon for a long time and they're outside, I suppose they're not thinking straight. So I can understand that reason for them running into the woods.
What about when they beat him, when they first knocked him down and they were escaping? Why was there no option to then grab his car keys and take the car and then piss off? And then you're on your own. That'd be my
horror
first
movie
spot.
Cliche.
I'd be like, it's so stupid,
used,
isn't it?
Yeah, I'm so used to it, though. It's just a horror movie cliche. Why don't they just kill him right then? Why
and take his keys,
or why don't
drive
they
off.
Just knock him out? Take him to the dungeon, chain him up. They know he's in there. They know he's locked up. They've got all the time in the world. See if he's got a phone available. Phone up. Sorted. That would be the smartest way. And this movie, I think this movie thinks it's smarter than it is. And if it was smart, it would have done something like that. And then the woman would have come in. And then they could have made it interesting. I think they killed off the wife too soon. And I think that was a big mistake by her. By slipping her narrative too far. She tried to pretend she was one of the girls that was in the dungeon that escaped, and she quickly lost kayfabe so instantly to kill her. I just thought, no, they should have just played it. She's maybe smarter than this. She doesn't know who else is around. She's just assumed there's one woman and that's it. Kill him. I just thought, like, this movie was dumb at the end. This movie was too dumb at the end.
It went off completely. I agree. And also, her technique as well to kill her was to strangle her, which we know is not the best way to kill someone. Strangle and talk is not the quickest way to get your point across in that scenario. I didn't understand why she went for that. That gives her so much time to think about what's happening. That's stupid. The acting was terrible. It was like acting on top of acting. When actors are acting that they're acting, I don't think actors can do that very well. Do you know what I mean? That's a hard art to master, isn't it?
You have to act,
but also let the audience know you're acting. But sometimes you don't, because we know that she's acting, so it doesn't need to be so obvious that she's acting. Because it wasn't believable.
No, but then again, I mean... Yeah, I know. I'm thinking like Alan Rickman in Die Hard. When he pretends that he's American and he's got this bad American accent and he's overacting. Oh, God, no, please don't shoot me. You're one of them. Like, calm down, Alan Rickman.
Yeah. It's that, isn't it? But then, yeah, she gets killed off very easily. It was Molly that kills her, wasn't it? Molly kills her?
Yep.
Molly kills her.
Brutally, I believe, like, her head went. Eventually, didn't it? It was just
smushed into the ground. Yeah, they had that watermelon technique, didn't they? Where the head just gets completely bludgeoned, and you're like, "Fucking hell!" Even though you know it's not real, you're like, "Jesus Christ!"
That was the most gruesome of the death. Why was that the most gruesome?
She didn't deserve that.
I mean, she's a mother. Those kids are orphans now. What's wrong with you?
No, man is going to take care of the kids. Don't worry about that. Man is on his way. I need to know what happened to him. Why did we just see him disappear into the night?
I reckon he was like behind a tree going, oh shit, I'm going to stay back. He followed Paul. I reckon he flagged down Paul and said, get out of here, man. This place is not safe.
Come on, bro. Let's go. I can get us out of here. Don't worry about it. Yeah, man
was... Meet at your bar? You want me to hook you up to me? I've got loads.
I kind of want to know what happens to the meat. Now, what happens to the service? Do the people who have ordered it are just like, where the hell is my delivery? I mean, like...
doesn't it feel like a small enterprise?
Yeah.
It does feel like a small enterprise. There's only three of them.
There is only three of them, but they're making things... You can't have too many people involved in that, though. It's a big circle of trust going on there, isn't it?
I don't really understand why there is even a circle of trust. Surely it should just be... Sebastian Stan and the man. How does the wife know the man? Does she not know the place? She has to phone the man to get to the place?
I suppose she's a good smokescreen for him having a normal life, isn't she?
Yeah, but why does she know the man?
Why does she know the man? Because he's clearly the delivery guy, isn't he? He takes the meat and then drops off.
Who takes the meat from this mysterious place in the woods to the provided place. Why does she know him? Why would he know her? You know, it doesn't make any sense. If only Sebastian Stan and the man should know each other. It doesn't make sense for her to know him unless she goes there and kills people.
They're probably CC'd on emails and stuff, you know? What happens when they want to go on holiday? Does the man have to cover or something?
Maybe. I just thought that there's a lot of things that don't make sense.
There are a lot of things. There's definitely a lot of plot holes in this movie, 100%. But yeah, the delivery man, I mean, they could have called him delivery man or something. Just man, come on. That's stupid. Anyway, then the very, very final ending scene was enough to make you go, yeah, this movie was crap.
Have I changed your opinion on this movie?
A little bit. The more I'm talking about it, the more I'm like, actually, did I really enjoy that movie, or did I just have a few beers and watch it on a Friday? I watched this last Friday. So
I watched
this
sober.
I watched it.
Maybe that was my mistake.
I watched it Friday night. I had a few beers, and I was like, it was after the we did the last episode, and I was like, I'll watch it straight away. And it was all right. But the final scene, the phone bleeps off, and it's our guy from the start of the movie, Chad, who says, you up. And then that's like, the movie is like, dating, hey?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it says.
You know what? That was like the only bit I actually related to. How many times have you sent a U up and then you look at it and you think, why did I send that? Why did I go there? Why can't I control myself when I drink? Do you know what who he reminded me of? And I'm trying to...
Don't say me.
No, not you.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of what his name is. I'm just surfing the internet right now for the man. It's the one.
Go on.
That's it. I found it. Right. It's from the IT crowd. The character Bill Krause. It's the episode where Jen is, where they fake Jen's death. And he reminds me of him at the dinner scene. You're like, when he's going, oh, I just want you to know, I don't like sharing. And yeah. But it's a tapas restaurant. Yeah, I know, but I just don't like sharing. You know, he was like the worst date ever, like when he was getting on at that waiter that looked like Mick Hucknall.
He was too awful. He was too written. He was too written, weren't he? I think it was kind of lazy.
Yeah.
It should have been subtly. A couple of little red flags and a couple of subtle hints.
It's weird, right? Because this movie is so subtle at everything else apart from that guy. He's like the most obnoxious, unreal guy you've ever met. Like, you die, you fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Whoa.
How did he think it was going well? That's what you're on it. Yeah. Like, no one would think that. That's something you do. If he's really not into her and he's just like, I'll get out of this easy by being a dickhead. And that's kind of what I was thinking when I was watching it. Was like, is he just being a dickhead on purpose? And then at the end, he thought he was in there. So,
fancy shag?
I may be wrong, but I feel like people like that surely can't exist to that level of craziness.
They do exist. I do believe they exist.
There are Chads out there.
There are Chads out there. But maybe... Maybe it's because we don't see that side.
He missed the mark too many times, though. Yeah. Do you not think he missed the mark way too many times? Everything was a miss. He was up. He was batting, and he was three strikes, you're out. And then he was up again, and then he was three strikes, you're out again. And he just, everything was a miss.
He was unbelievable. But I've seen enough first dates on Channel 4 to see that there are like Chad-esque sort of people there. They're never full Chad, but like the werewolf transformation could begin.
There are some borderline Chads, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, the movie ended like that, and I thought that was cheap. I was like, because after that scene,
I was like, who's Chad? It took me a while.
I did as well. I was like,
I thought his name was him. Paul.
Chad. They gave him a name like Chad, but he didn't look like a Chad. He looked like he looked more like a Brendan, to be fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how they ended it. So I feel like you're going to put this in your bad category, but I'll let you confirm.
Yeah, it's going in there. It is going in the bad category.
I'm going to put this in my WTF but for a different reason. A WTF, were they thinking in terms of why did they go down a certain route? They had some of the ingredients. It's like they had all the ingredients to make a good movie. And they just threw them all in the pot and stuck the lid on it and went, let's see what happens.
it was very much like I wouldn't say it was a gamble. It's like they say, oh, I've got this good draft. So, all right, let's make it. So I think it needs a little bit of work. Work. Why work? Just give it to me. We'll do something with it. It felt like that. It felt like a rushed process. Like, let's
get
something
out. It got more and more
rushed. Yeah. And do you know what? And we're going to go down this road now. I think a lot of movies these days suffer from what Fresh has got, where they feel rushed. They do feel like they're just quickly, let's get them in development, let's get them made. I do feel, especially with the streaming, I think it's streaming more than cinema, that because there needs to be a new movie every week on streaming, you know, for people to go, oh, look, something new on there, that we're getting a lot of rush product. And this is case in point. I know it was Sundance. I know this was a Sundance movie, and it premiered at Sundance. For the life of me, I don't fucking know why. Sundance must have had a slow year. But yeah, this is not a Sundance movie. Fuck that. This is the weird what the fuck kind of movie.
Yeah, it wasn't very Sundance-y, was it? No. I was kind of surprised by that as well. But it still ended up on there. Oh well. Yeah. So WTF for me, and you're going straight with the
bad.
All right then. I guess we'll move on to our next bit. The Oscars are back. Proper Oscars this year. We'll have a proper ceremony. People will be in attendance. It will feel more Oscar-y than ever before. And because we did the nomination sweepstake, we had to do the winner sweepstake too, didn't we? You beat me on the nomination one. And you'll probably beat me on the winner one. But I'll give it a good shot. And where do you want to start with this one? Because I was thinking of working my way from bottom to top in terms of how they're listed.
It depends how you've done. I'm looking at IMDb's bottom to top. Are you looking at IMDb's bottom to top?
I'll do the same. Oscars, okay, cool. IMDb.
So the first one's honorary awards. Who do you reckon?
We're not going to do that.
Who do you reckon's going to be honored the most? Illumine?
Have they not already revealed that?
They have, but who's going to be honoured the most? Who do you reckon is going to be the most honoured in their speech? The one I'd love to see, and I can't wait to see the clip of it, is Samuel L. Jackson's honorary speech. Because I like Samuel L. Jackson.
hold on, are we looking at the same bit now? Because my first one says, from bottom to top, says Best International Feature Film.
It is, but if you go further down, the bottom one is Gene Herschel Humanitarian Award. To Danny Glover, and then it's honorary award, and then it's best international feature.
Mine doesn't have that. Okay, well, we might be looking at a different page, but we'll run with it. We'll run with it.
Yeah, best international feature. Do we want to quickly run through who they are?
Yep, Drive My Car, Flea, Lunana, The Hand of God, and The Worst Person in the World are the nominees, the five nominees. Who are you leaning towards in this one?
I think this is an easy one to pick. I think it's going to be Drive My Car because it's nominated for Best Picture. So I think that's going to be the one.
I was going to go with the exact same because, I mean, that's why.
Simple one. So the next one I've got is Best Live Action Short Film. Yeah?
Yep. Same here. You run for them.
So Alec Ashew, Take and Run, On My Mind, Please Hold, The Dress, and The Long Goodbye.
I'm kind of leaning towards The Long Goodbye. What are you leaning towards?
That's the one everyone's sort of putting on. I'm going to go different here because I think they're going with The Long Goodbye because it's Riz Ahmed's nominated for it. So I'm going to go a different way, and I'm going to go with The Dress.
Oh.
It's a bit of an outside shot, but why not?
He went for it. He went for it, though. The first surprise. I mean, it could happen. Anything could happen.
Let me tell you something about the short films. They're the categories I always get wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
play it safe and if I go out there, I always get them wrong. It's very rare I get them right.
Yeah, I'm the same. Best animated short film. Affairs of the Art, Beast, Box Ballot, Robin, and The Windshield Wiper.
I want to say, I've heard a lot about Beastia. Apparently, it's very dark, very out there. I want to see it now because apparently it is really something which is something you wouldn't have ever thought the Academy would nominate. So that's made me intrigued by it. I think I'm going to go with The Windshield Wiper.
Okay. I'm going to go with Robin for my one.
Now we go to best animated film. Encanto, Flea, Luca, Raya and the Last Dragon, or the Mitchells versus the Machines.
I'm going to go with, I think Flea is going to win this one.
See, you think the Encanto, I mean, there's a lot of heat on Disney at the moment with this, the Don't Say Gay Bill thing. So that might have hit him a little bit. And you're going to go with Flea. I got to be honest with you. I'm not so sure on Encanto either. And I'm going to go with the Mitchells versus the Machines.
That was kind of my second one. I think Encanto is, I think a lot of people will expect Encanto to maybe win just because it's got rave reviews, but I don't know. Flea. Mitchells versus the Machines is also a good one. That was.
I liked it. It was a very good movie. I did enjoy it.
Best documentary short subject. Audible, Lead Me Home, The Queen of Basketball, Three Songs for Benazir, and When We Were Bullies.
I'm going to go Audible because I think it falls in line with Coda, and I think, yeah, there's normally a theme in Oscar year, so I think Audible was probably the one.
I am going to go with The Queen of Basketball. I'm going to go with.
You just want to see Shaquille O'Neal on stage.
Who doesn't?
Well, exactly.
That guy is massive.
He is huge and massive in size and personality.
Exactly. Next one, doc feature.
Yeah, we have Ascension, Attica, Flea, Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, or Writing with Fire.
Ooh, I mean, I'm tempted to go Flea again, but I'm going to go with Summer of Soul. Quest Love, I believe, is going to pick that one up.
There's only one love, and that's Quest Love. I'm going with Summer of Soul as well.
I really hope he does as well. I really love Questlove.
I haven't seen it yet. I know it's on Disney Plus on my subscription. I need to give that a go.
Same here. Best achievement in visual effects. Dune, Free Guy, No Time to Die, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Spider-Man No Way Home.
It's going to be Dune. I can't imagine it being anything else.
Yeah. I wanted to go for something different, but I think that would just might be a stupid waste of not winning one of these.
And winning is important, as it we have important. Decided.
I think Dune as well. It's going to have to be in it. Best achievement in music written for motion pictures.
Original score, yes.
Original score, yes.
So, Down to Joy by Van Morrison for Belfast. Dos Oreguitas by Lynn Miranda Hall for Encanto. Somehow You Do by Diane Warren for Four Good Days. Be Alive by Beyonce and Dixon for King Richard. Or No Time to Die by Billie Eilish, Phineas O'Connell for No Time to Die. I believe that... Oh, no, so you go first, don't you?
I was going to go for Encanto, Dos Oreguitas.
Dos on what that one. Dos, yeah.
Yeah, same.
I think what's weird is that I think it's going to go for that one because of We Need to Talk About Bruno, which is all anyone's talking about. The big song from that.
So we don't need to, we need to stop talking about Bruno. That sounds
that, well, apparently they're having a live performance of that. They're going to have We Need to Talk About Bruno playing, which I find weird considering that's the one that isn't nominated. But they'll nominate it for that.
Okay. They could do. We'll see. Staying on the theme of music, best achievement in music written for motion pictures, original score. Nicholas Britell, Don't Look Up. Hans Zimmer, Dune. Jermaine Franco for Encanto. Alberto Iglesias for Parallel Mothers. And Johnny Greenwood for The Power of the Dog.
It's going to be the Zimmer train. He's going to go for his second Oscar, I believe.
The Zimmer train. I should have said Zimmer frame. What a word.
He's not that old ever. Yet.
He's getting there. He's bloody getting there. I think I'm gonna go with the same. To be fair, Hans Zimmer. Who's got the keys to my bimmer? Who's got the Zimmer to my frame? Hans Zimmer.
Best achievement in makeup and hairstyle.
Mickey.
Coming to America. Cruella. Dune. House of Gucci. Or The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
I think it's going to go... I mean, I didn't even put Cruella on my nomination thing. For some reason, I just thought, I won't be in there. I was impressed by The Eyes of Tammy Faye. I'm going to go with that, The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
I'm stuck between... I think it is going to be The Eyes of Tammy Faye, so I'm going to go with it. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Cruella. But I am going to go with The Eyes of Tammy Faye as well, because she's nominated for Best Actress... and recently they do like a transformation of a person who seems to be going for an Oscar. So I think that'll probably be that.
There you go. There you go. It's a good enough reason for me. I just think it looks the best. Best Sound, Belfast, Dune, No Time to Die, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story.
It's got to be Dune.
Again, was the sound good in that?
It was. I can't say that. I don't know how the hell you differentiate what's better sound. Like a lot of these, I don't know. But I always think the sound, what is the noisiest one? And I think Dune was the noisiest one, I believe. I don't even remember any sound in The Power of the Dog. So, yeah.
Maybe that's what got nominated.
Yeah,
the use of lack of sound. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards West Side Story for this one. I think I'm going to go West Side Story.
Musicals do well in sound. They do.
Yeah, it is the main element of the movie. Musicals do well with sound. Best achievement in costume design: Cruella, Serrano, Dune, Nightmare Alley, and then West Side Story again.
Why are you doing the second one?
Oh, did I do the last one?
You did.
Sorry. You do two after this.
Okay, Cruella. I'm going to go with Cruella.
Okay, I'm going to go with Nightmare Alley.
Cool. Best production design. Dune. Nightmare Alley. The Power of the Dog. The Tragedy of Macbeth. Or West Side Story.
I'm going to go Dune.
I'm going to copy on that one, yeah.
It did look the best.
And a lot of like science fiction, fantasy have really taken supreme. Apparently, Nightmare Alley has got some amazing production design, and I'll try and watch that this weekend. That's my aim.
Yeah, I
want to
watch
aim.
That as well. That does look good.
Best film editing. Don't Look Up, Hank Corwin. Dune, Joe Walker. King Richard, Paloma Martin, The Power of the Dog, Peter Sobrinkis, Tick, Tick, Boom, Maureen Kirstein, and Andrew Weisblum.
I'm going to go with... The Power of the Dog.
I'm going to go with Dune.
You do think Dune's going to pick up all the technical ones, don't you?
I think it might have a bit of a cakewalk, yeah.
It's the most impressive looking movie of the year. That's what we're going for. Best achievement in cinematography. Dune, Greg Fraser. Nightmare Alley, Dan Lewiston. The Power of the Dog, Ari Wegner. Tragedy of Macbeth, Bruno Debonnel. And West Side Story, Janusz Kaminski.
Surprise, surprise. It's going to be Dune. I do think it's going to be Dune. I think there's a good shout for Ari Wegner, but I think it's probably Dune.
I'm going to go with The Power of the Dog, Ari Wegner.
I mean, it's a beautiful looking movie.
Is this me or is it you now, isn't it, again?
Screenplay. It is, yeah. You've confused me because I've done two and then you've done... I'm getting confused. Best adapted screenplay. Coda, yeah. Sean Hedda. Drive My Car, Ryusuke Hamaguchi and Takamasa Oi. Dune, John's Fates, Denis Villeneuve and Eric Roth, The Lost Daughter, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and The Power of the Dog, Jane Campion.
I'm going to go with Coda.
I'm going to join you on that one. I think that's going to win there.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I'd love to see Maggie Gyllenhaal win for The Lost Daughter, though.
Yeah, I would. I would. I think it may just fall short. I think it would have been a close second. Best original screenplay. Belfast, Kenneth Branagh. Don't Look Up, Adam McKay, David Serrato. King Richard, Zach Bailyn. Licorice Pizza, Paul Thomas Anderson. And The Worst Person in the World, Eskil Vought and Joachim Trier.
No.
You go.
This is a hard one. This is a hard one. It's between two people here. And I'm going to have to go Belfast. I can't see them not giving Belfast an award. So I think it's going to be Kenneth Branagh for Belfast.
I'm going to go Paul Thomas Anderson.
It's between them two, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Which one do you go with? That's a hard one. It is down the line, and then probably Adam McKay will win.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't be too sad about, because that was a really good movie. Best director.
Best director.
Jane Campion, The Power of the Dog. Kenneth Branagh, Belfast. Paul Thomas Anderson, Licorice Pizza. Rusuke Hamaguchi, Drive My Car. And Spielberg, West Side Story.
We are going to butcher all these names, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so people know. Don't take any offense. We are just terrible with names. That is how it goes. it's a Templeman trait.
It is.
I'm torn between these two, because this is where I was going to give Belfast the award of Kenneth Branagh, but I really do think Jane Campion's going to win this. So I'm going to have to go with her.
I think she's sealed and cemented. I think this one is probably the easiest. Well, the second easiest one to predict that it's going to go to her.
I think, yeah, if it doesn't, it will go to Kenneth. But yeah.
I don't know. I think if it doesn't, it could go to Spielberg.
Do you think so?
I mean, a legend who's got two Oscars. I could see them wanting to give him a third Oscar. It's quite popular, isn't he? He's beloved director.
He is. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role. Ariana DeBoosh, West Side Story. I can't pronounce the name. Bollocks.
Ajanu Ellis.
Yep. Ajanu Ellis, King Richard. Jesse Buckley, The Lost Daughter. Judi Dench, Belfast. And Kirsten Dunst, The Power of the Dog.
I think it's going to be Ariana DeBoosh. I think this is the easiest one to predict. She's won everything. I think, she'll win it, hands down. Can't see an upset, really.
Yeah, I'd agree. As much as I would like to see Judi Dench get it, she won't.
She'll just have to wait for next year.
Yeah, I just wanted to see her be the oldest to win it. Would she be the oldest to win it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Best supporting actor. Kieran Hines, Belfast. J.K. Simmons, Being the Ricardos. Jesse Plemons, The Power of the Dog. Cody Smith-McPhee, The Power of the Dog. And Troy Kotsur for Coda.
I think this is another plain sailing one as well. I think Cody Smith-McPhee is going to win this one.
I think Troy Kotsur is going to win it.
Ooh.
I think after that BAFTA acceptance speech, I thought that was such a good acceptance speech that I can see them going, I'd like him to go on the podium. I think he would be good. He'd be good value. And I think that's a typical performance from an actor, like a supporting role. So I could see that happening.
Okay. You're going for the theatrics. No, I think it is
Hollywood.
It is Hollywood after all. You're right. It is Hollywood.
The hardest
best
one.
Best actress in the leading role. This is difficult. Yeah, best performance by an actress in a leading role. Jessica Chastain, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Kirsten Stewart, Spencer. Nicole Kidman, Being the Ricardos. Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter. And Penelope Cruz, Parallel Mothers.
Wow.
Well, you get the The joy of going first for this one.
The narrative behind this, I think this is the most interesting category in a long time in the Oscars, because normally you got a front runner, and they had a narrative for the front runner. The front runner was Kirsten Stewart all the time. All the way it was Kirsten Stewart, and then she wasn't picking up big ones. And then they were looking at it and they were going, well, Lady Gaga seems to be nominated a lot, so maybe she's a front runner. She didn't get nominated. Then everyone started to think, oh, it's got to be Nicole Kidman. Then suddenly, Brie Larson wasn't nominated for Best Picture. So now you're looking at it and you're going, I don't know who it's going to be. There's a good chap, all of these ladies. At the moment, the momentum is with Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. And there's good money to put yourself on there. However, I feel like this category is so wildly unpredictable, I'm going to go for Penelope Cruz in Parallel Mothers.
That's the thing you've ended up on.
Yes.
I am going to go with Kristen Stewart. I'm going to go with her.
Okay. I would love to see Kristen Stewart win. I think she's been an incredible actor for the past few years, ever since Twilight. I think she's done amazing stuff. Mm. I haven't seen Spencer, but there's hardly a movie I've not seen with Kristen Stewart that I didn't like. Best leading role for an actor. Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom. Benedict Cumberbatch, Power of the Dog. Denzel Washington, Tragedy of Macbeth. Javier Bardem, Being the Ricardos. And Will Smith, King Richard.
Tough one. This is also a tough one. I know you're probably saying Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm leaning towards Will Smith. Part of me is also saying that Garfield could pick it up. Denzel Washington is another great shout, and so is Javier Bardem. This is tough as well, you know. This could swing either way. I think this is going to go to Will Smith.
I concur.
Yeah.
I just think this is his year. He's won all the big ones. I think because he won the BAFTA, that was the one that if it went to Benedict, I would have thought maybe Benedict's got a shout. But I think people have kind of accepted that they want to see Will Smith. Yeah, and this is a typical Hollywood A-list actors Oscar-winning role. It reminds me, I've never seen it. I haven't seen it, so I can't say, but it reminds me a lot of Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side or Julia Roberts for Erin Brockovich. Where it just feels like this is tailor-made for that actor to win an Oscar, and this just feels like that actor's going to win his Oscar.
I hope it happens. I really want to see him win it.
Do you know why? For a long time, and I'm disappointed to say, it's been a long time since I felt this way, but there was a period in the 90s and the early 2000s where any Will Smith movie that came on, I was game for it. I loved it. And then Hancock came out and shattered my illusion. And ever since then, like, he's been quite hit or miss, I find. And I really would like to see Will Smith come back and give us something more. And if the career trajectory is to do more roles like this, I'm all game for it. I just want to see Will Smith be in good movies. It's been a while. It has been a while.
I agree. It has been a while. So, but hopefully he's back to that again, not just churn and burning money. Because that doesn't get you longevity, does it? It doesn't. You need those big roles, need to be respected. He has deserved it.
He needs the juicy roles to come back. And so, fingers crossed, this happens. Best Picture. Here we go.
Oh, I get the honours of doing it. Belfast. Coda. Don't Look Up. Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. Do you want to go first? I don't think we should do this in order. I think we should whoever feels comfortable going first.
Okay.
Do you want a minute to think about it? Has there been one that you've stuck with the whole time, or have you been chipping and changing?
I think since the PGAs, it's thrown a spanner in the works, and I think like Power of the Dog would have been the safe bet. But I don't know. I'm starting to look at it, and I'm going to go with a salacious prediction here and say Coda's going to win.
You didn't put Coda down for many awards as well.
I put it down for more rewards than Power of the Dog at the moment. Coda at the moment,
I suppose you have, yeah.
It's got three Oscars, but the Power of the Dog's got one.
Yeah, but it's got a big one, the director one.
It has, but they've been huge. Split for they've been splitting them recently.
Go on.
I was just gonna say, when you look at Oscar Best Picture winners, they always normally go for feel-good movies or Hollywood movies, historical movies. I think The Power of the Dog is not an Oscars movie. That I just feel like Coda hits all the audience rewards. It reminds me of like Green Book. It's that kind of movie. It's the movie you can feel happy about winning an Oscar.
Mm. Yeah. I'd agree. I'm going to go... I'm torn between two. I'm struggling. I don't want to go Coda. I don't want to go the same as you. And I wasn't thinking Coda anyway, so I'm not just saying that just to not pick the same as you. I agree with Power of the Dog. I'm ruling out West Side Story, Licorice Pizza, Dune, Nightmare Alley, Don't Look Up. Don't think they're going to win it. I think Drive My Car has potential to cause a bit of an upset.
That would be a huge upset if it did,
It would be a huge upset. But I am leaning towards... I'm leaning more towards Belfast than King Richard, but a part of me can see King Richard winning it.
A King Richard would be shocking if that won. Belfast, I mean, you talk about me only giving thingy like,
I haven't
three.
Given it anything.
I think Belfast has got zero from you. So, yeah.
It has got zero from me.
And King Richard's got one.
Yeah, King Richard's only got one. I haven't given too many to Coda. I've only given one to Coda as well. I'm going to go for Belfast.
Wow. So I'm trying to think of the last movie that won one Oscar, and that was the Best Picture. I believe that was in 1932. And
wow.
And that's called Grand Hotel. I believe that's the last one.
Yeah, you pulled that fact out of your ass, didn't you?
Oh, well, I'm only guessing. Is that right or am I wrong?
I don't know. I'm taking it as being right. I can't prove
it. There might be people listening go, no, he's wrong. Don't let him fool you. Don't let him put the wool over your eyes.
I'm going to Google that and just find out, actually. Fuck's sake, you are right. It was... Only three films have been named Best Picture with no other wins.
Oh,
the
can
Broadway
I, can
Melody.
I, oh, can I guess the other one then? So Broadway Melody... Grand Hotel.
One more, yeah.
And the last one, I don't believe it was... Is it Wings? No. Cavalcade?
This is another favourite. I think this is another dad favourite, actually.
All Quiet on the Western Front?
Nope.
Don't know, then.
Do you want me to give you a clue of when it came out? It came out in the 30s.
Well, it must have come out in 1930 or 1931 because wasn't Thingy 1932? Was that the last one?
This came out later. This was the latest one of the
What
the
year?
Lot. 35.
Oh, it's Mutiny on the Bounty. I thought that one too. Yeah. So that's the last one then. Mutiny on the Bounty was the last.
Yeah. Hey, you know, history can change.
It wasn't Grand Hotel wasn't the last one. It was Mutiny on the Bounty.
There you go. Yeah, Mutiny on the Bounty.
I could have sworn Charles Laughton won an Oscar for that, but maybe he didn't.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're also going... I mean, these are my predictions. It may win another award as well as Best Picture. So it could win Best Original Screenplay and Best Picture.
I think Coda and Belfast are more an Oscar narrative than Power of the Dog. So it remains to be seen. I mean, Moonlight did win.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Hey, we'll see. But, you know, these are just our predictions. I'm sure everyone will have their own little predictions going on, but save these. I've saved mine in a Word doc. We'll email these to each other again, and we'll mark each other.
Which ones have you saved? Mine or yours? Because
mine.
I, All right. I think I remember.
I'll write yours down.
All right. I think I remember mine. I'll sift through them after this. I didn't write any down, but I'm pretty sure mine won't change.
Well, we've got it on record, so you can't fake it now. No. The evidence is here.
The dog.
I'll email you mine and you email me yours so that we know that there's no last minute changes.
Are you going to watch it?
Yeah, I'll try and watch it. I may not watch it live just because it's on quite late on a Sunday. I will watch it.
Hopefully it's good, but I have a feeling I'm going to watch it. And the show itself, I mean. I'm going to watch it and think, my God, it's terrible. Because they're just getting so bad recently.
The shows are always bad. Well, award shows are terrible now. I haven't seen a good award show in so long. Like the actual show itself.
It's just cringeworthy. It's so cringeworthy these days.
And I feel bad for the people presenting because it's not a great gig, really. It's
like
hard gig.
It's like the worst acting. Like when you see these great actors come on there and they have to read from the old teleprompter, it's absolute terrible. It's like, wait a minute, you won an Oscar and I'm not convinced.
They just don't, they're off the clock, aren't they? You know, they're not working. Anyway, there are predictions and we'll go to what we'll be watching next week.
I had to pick this movie as soon as it was one I was going to watch. Even before picking it for this, I thought, I want to see it. So I'm going to go with, it's on Amazon Prime, Crime Story from 1993. This is a Jackie Chan movie. Jackie Chan. A special agent is assigned to protect a wealthy family magnate. However, when the businessman is kidnapped in a daring ambush, he teams up with a seasoned detective to crack the case. But soon he discovers the case isn't that simple.
Ooh. It's a
90s Jackie Chan. Not seen it, but I haven't seen many of his Hong Kong movies. I've only seen First Strike and Rumble in the Bronx. But it's back to the old action movies of old. Mm. And I thought, why not? Jackie Chan is a legend of the action martial arts industry, and I thought it'd be interesting to see him. I mean, we're in Oscar season, so let's get out of Oscar season with something the least Oscar-y thing I could think of. Jackie Chan.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. I'm up for watching that. Jackie Chan, Crime Story, next week. And we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.